Blog Talk Radio.
Round one.
Mark Wilson, Presidente, and you know what? This is probably one of the good times that if you are listening to us on the podcast, then probably in all likelihood, you don't know what has just happened over the last 45 minutes or an hour. We had some huge technical difficulties. We do have the issue resolved now. Woohoo! Let's give it up. The show must go on. I tell you what, I don't know how far off we've thrown everybody today, but we'll try to regroup and try to get everybody back in queue with us. But Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, was supposed to join us at the top of the hour, and then we had some technical issues, so hopefully he could call in soon here. I do believe that we've got Mo from the BS Sports Show going to be joining us here at the top of the hour. And then all's good for our guest from OnPitRoad.com, going to be talking about some NASCAR and what's going on with NASCAR. So the first hour kind of went in the toilet. That's okay. We'll make it up on the back end, as they say. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, regroup, and we're going to get everything going. I promise you, all's good in the world of good land of radio. My name is John Mark Michelle Presidente. We'll be right back right after this on the Balance Radio Network.
Very final day of the regular season. The pursuit of history comes down to one.
Go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Hi, Tom Baudette spreading the word about Motel 6's cool new hashtag. It's all about the thrilling stuff you can do with the money you save at Motel 6 instead of some expensive hotel with a lot of fancy stuff you don't need. Thrills, not frills. Just post all those thrill pics you take on your summer travels with the hashtag thrills, not frills. Boom. I mean, hashtag boom. Hashtag this is awesome. I'm Tom Baudet for hashtag Motel 6 and hashtag we'll leave the light on for you.
And welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Mark Wassell, President Day, or should I say welcome to The Balance. My gosh. I don't know what happened. All kinds of gremlins in our equipment this morning, but we got everything fixed. You know what? Joining us now is Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Calkins Media going to talk with us about championship weekend. Before we get into that, I mean, I tell you what, sometimes you just want to go back to bed, Ed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had that feeling quite a bit myself, Tom. Believe me.
It's a good thing in my real world I have a little bit of formal training on such things, so I had to just kind of go through a flow chart of troubleshooting, and finally, ta-da! We are here.
I give you all the credit for fixing it. I give you all the credit in the world for fixing it. You're a mechanical genius.
I am some sort of. They say there's a thin line between a genius and an idiot, and I walk that line very, very carefully all the time, every day. Well, you know, hey, we got us a new president, Mr. Donald Trump, and Vice President Mike Pence. We know him well from here in Indiana. Looking forward to that. It doesn't really matter what your political party affiliation is. It is always cool to see that. Transfer of power and to see democracy at work. What did you think about the inauguration yesterday? I don't really care about what your personal preference of who you voted for or didn't vote for, but as far as the actual process of the inauguration and bringing in the new commander-in-chief, what were your thoughts?
Well, I have to be honest, I didn't see a single minute of any of it. I was I went to New York City yesterday, and that's where I am right now. And I went to a play last night on Broadway, and terrific play with Nathan Lane and John Goodman, and hysterical, called The Front Page.
Awesome. Are you going to make a stop at Trump Tower today?
No, I won't. I think there might be some protests or something going on up there. I'm in Brooklyn. That's where my son has an apartment because he goes to school here in the city. And so we're just ensconced in a Brooklyn hotel here. Kind of away from
there
Manhattan, but Brooklyn's a great city, you know, a great place too. I don't know if you or any of your listeners have been here, but it's fantastic.
I actually have been to New York City. I've never been to the borough of Brooklyn, but I know that it's all connected in some way, form, or a matter. And I know your son goes to school down there. So let's jump right into this. Obviously, it's NFL playoff. We're down to the Final Four. We've got the Packers and the Falcons tomorrow, and then also tomorrow evening we got the Patriots and the Steelers. We'll start with the NFC. That's obviously who you know well, and then we'll hold our picks. But you know, I think I've got a pretty good idea who's going to go into the Super Bowl, but you really can't argue with either one of these two quarterbacks, Ryan or Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay Packers is just on an absolute terror. And I tell you what, I don't know of any two quarterbacks that have not earned their way right into the championship, NFC championship game. Talk with us about this quarterback matchup. This is something really special for both of them.
Yeah, how about it? I mean, both games, Tom, but you're right with the NFC side. Matt Ryan really has been in this league a long time, and you know, all that's really missing, I think, is a trip to the Super Bowl and a Super Bowl title. He's taken the Falcons to this step once before, and they came up short. But you talk about, you know, you talk about a transfer of power like you did at the top here with the presidency. And, you know, if Matt Ryan can somehow find a way to transfer that power and get his team into the Super Bowl, that would be a real feather in his cap, obviously. But boy, Aaron Rodgers, I'll tell you, that game last week in Dallas, my goodness, what a game he had, what a play he made late. I keep watching that throw, you know, you can see it in whatever that GIF mode is or whatever over and over, and you've seen it from different angles. I've watched it many times. I'm just so awed by that throw, to just how calm he was on that throw he made to Rodgers on the sidelines to set up that game-winning field goal was just incredible. And the way he played that game throughout was really marvelous. And does he have another one of those left in him today or tomorrow in Atlanta? I'm not really sure. It's going to be real fun to see, watch him play. I got to tell you, the more I watch him play, the more and more I admire Aaron Rodgers and what he's able to do. But, you know, Matt Ryan wants to get into that category, and the only way to do that is to get your team to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a heck of a head-to-head matchup. Of course, there's other aspects of that game, all, you know, other than the quarterbacks that will come into play, and maybe we can get into some of those. But Rodgers and Ryan are the, you know, that's the marquee billing on this one.
Well, absolutely, and I think what we could actually honestly have the conversation or at least debate Aaron Rodgers' MVP, especially if he goes to the Super Bowl and wins it. I don't know that there's any other question that Aaron Rodgers is an MVP candidate, if you will. If we were to have a discussion about MVP and Aaron Rodgers, would he be one that you'd want to throw into that conversation, especially where how he's turned his season around to where he's at and to where he possibly could be by the end of the season?
Oh, absolutely. He's got to be in the mix. And, you know, it's funny, Tom, he turned his season around in Philadelphia against the Eagles. You know, the Packers came into that game limping, and Rodgers just played a terrific game in Philadelphia. And, you know, the reaction of Eagles fans is always, boy, you know, what did our guys do wrong? But sometimes you have to look at what the other team did right. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers really found his game again in Philadelphia against the Eagles. He said to the media when we had him on a conference call that week that he, you know, they're going to win out. If they can beat the Eagles, he believes they're going to win out. And they beat the Eagles, and sure enough, they've won out. So he has clearly put himself in the MVP conversation since then. You know, he struggled early. Everybody was wondering, geez, what's the matter with Aaron Rodgers? And those stories about his family situation came out, and maybe that was what was eating at him and why he didn't perform well. You know, he sure turned it around starting in Philadelphia, hasn't been beaten since, is an MVP candidate. Matt Ryan is an MVP candidate, and I think Matt Ryan,
absolutely.
You know, Matt Ryan came to Philadelphia this year too, and he did not look good. The Eagles were able to shut him down and contain him. They gave up only 15 points in that game. It's the fewest points that the Falcons have scored this year. So the Eagles defense really clamped him down. But, you know, that was kind of a one-game anomaly. You know, Matt Ryan has been consistent all season long. And right now, if it were me, I would probably give the MVP to Matt Ryan just because I think he has had the more consistent season over Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has played fabulous in these last, eight games or so that they've won in a row, maybe more. But he's played terrific. But, you know, again, early on, he struggled. Everybody wondered what was wrong with him. Is he done? Has he seen better days? And he found himself. But Matt Ryan, to me, has had the most consistent year. And I right now would probably have to vote for Matt Ryan.
How important is it for both of these teams to stop the passing game of both of these quarterbacks? I mean, really, I think if they could slow down and stop, whether it be the Green Bay defense or the Atlanta defense, can slow down that pass, that dangerous throw that both Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers have, that's where they can really have that competitive edge to win the game. How important is the passing game to both the Packers and the Falcons?
Well, it's huge for the Packers. I mean, you look at their running game. You know, they're using Ty Montgomery, who was a wide receiver, to run the ball. They have, they have the big fullback that can pound and get the yards. But, you know, they're a pass team. The Packers need to pass the ball. Rodgers needs to come up big in the pass game. And, if the Packers want to win. The Falcons, to me, are a more balanced team. They have a good running threat that they can use at Devontae Freeman. You know, they can really pound the ball. So if the Falcons' passing game is struggling, which I don't think it will, but they won't rely on it as much as Green Bay will. They're going to run the ball. Atlanta will. They can do that successfully. And then that, of course, just makes Matt Ryan, you know, his receivers with Julio Jones even that much more dangerous once they're able to keep the Green Bay defense on its heels. You look at the points they scored against Seattle last week, Atlanta, and, you know, Seattle's defense, I know, is missing Earl Thomas. And, you know, Richard Sherman admitted that he played, you know, with an injury, you know, late in the year. So it was a little banged up, but still, that is a proud Seattle defense that they went against, and they had no trouble putting up, you know, 30-plus points against that defense. And, you know, the Green Bay Packers are going to have to keep pace. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Green Bay can keep pace, but they're going to have to do that on Aaron Rodgers' arm, try to mix in a run here and there, but that's just for show. Whereas the Falcons, they can run the ball, and they can do it effectively enough to make Matt Ryan even more dangerous.
We're talking with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. And as we know, the first part of our show, we had some technical difficulties. So our guest is joining us now, is actually on time. And Ed is gracious enough to come on a little bit later. So we've got Mo from the BS Sports Show joining us as well to talk about NFL Championship Weekend. And Mo, I know we brought you on to talk some MLB and MLB Hall of Fame. We'll try to get to that as well. But Mo, as you heard Ed talking about the Packers and Green Bay, and certainly how big of a quarterback that Atlanta Falcons have, and what a great season Aaron Rodgers have, both MVP type candidates, and you know, really the passing game is the most dangerous thing for the Green Bay Packers. When you look at the Packers and the Falcons, Mo from the BS Sports Show joins us today. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think Ed was 100% right in the fact that, to me, Matt Ryan is the MVP as well. He's been the most consistent. Aaron Rodgers has been on a tear, you know, like we haven't seen in a long time, but Matty Ryan has been more consistent. The thing for me, if I'm Green Bay, is I want to get ahead early and try to take away that running game of Atlanta and make them a more of a one-dimensional team. Atlanta, I think, has a better defense. They have a better pass rush and a better secondary. And if some of those receivers from Green Bay are going to be out, I think that makes it much more difficult on Green Bay. So if I'm Green Bay, I try to do like I did at Dallas last week and get up early and try to take that running game away from Atlanta. To me, you know, this seems like a big spot for Matt Ryan, and in a big spot last week when he needed a home playoff win, he got it. Now can he win the big game that everybody's been waiting for Matt Ryan to do for a bunch of years? And I think today could be the day that the Atlanta Falcons get it done.
Mo, when we look at the matchup between Ty Montgomery and Deion Jones, who has the bigger game tomorrow?
I think it's Ty Montgomery. I mean, the kids played really well. And, you know, I've heard talk, there's been talk, that there's a chance that he has to change numbers because he becomes a full-time running back next year. You know, it's hard to ever count the Packers, especially with Aaron Rodgers in this year. But I like Ty Montgomery. I think he's played extremely well this season for what he's had to do and put himself through.
Ed, what are your thoughts on that matchup between Ty Montgomery and Deion Jones? Obviously, both of those people have earned their jobs and really are trying to excel themselves to the next level as they wind down the 2016 season.
Well, I'd like to see Ty Montgomery change his number, because when I see someone with the number 88 on his back carrying the ball, he just doesn't look like a running back to me. He looks like a receiver
89,
trying
right?
to be a running back, or 89. Yeah, whatever his number
yeah,
is
okay,
in the 80s.
It's yeah, in the 80s,
but,
right?
But
like, something's amiss here.
Yeah. No, I don't have a roster in front of me, but I guess it's 89. But I see a guy running a ball with that number. I think he looks like a receiver trying to be a running back. So if you put the number 32 on him, or, you know, 21 or whatever you want to put on him, and you give him the ball, then I think, yeah, he looks like a running back. I think he can do pretty good as a running back. But right now, to me, he still looks like a receiver running the ball, and I'm not taking anything away from him. He's had a very good, transition from wide receiver to running back. But to me, he just doesn't look like a running back just yet. And I think, you know, the Green Bay defense will be able to take him away from the Packers a little bit, more so than I think than what the Cowboys were able to do last week.
Well, we can't put the number 21 on him because Ha Ha Clinton Dix might have something to say about that. Which, by the way, guys, his matchup, I guess, would be obviously Julio Jones. That is the weapon. Ryan Jones, there's the weapon for the Atlanta Falcons. Ed, what are your thoughts? Ironically, you said number 21. It was just funny that you said that because that's his number. But go right ahead,
that's
buddy.
Good segue for you, Tom. I like it. I set you up.
Yeah, you set me up good, buddy. I love it. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix versus Julio Jones. What are your thoughts?
Ha-ha, yeah. Well, I love Julio Jones. You know, he's a fun guy to watch. Boy, he makes every play conceivable as a receiver, and you know, that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. I always tend to favor, you know, a receiver in that situation. I think, especially a guy like Julio Jones, I think you're going to need to kind of double him at times, and dare some of the other guys to beat you. But it's going to be a fun matchup to watch. But I give an edge to Jones. I usually do give an edge to the better receiver in this situation. You know, especially a guy like Jones, like I said. And you know, Ha-Ha might be able to hold his own a little bit, but they're going to have to give him some help too.
Mo, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
Well, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how the toe injury slows Julio Jones down, if it does. I think what's great about the Atlanta offense is the fact that Matt Ryan has been great with distributing the ball to a bunch of different receivers this year. And should Julio Jones, you know, be still a little injured, maybe he's out there as a decoy. If you can pull, you know, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix or a couple of double teams for Julio Jones, and he isn't the greatest at speed tomorrow, or he isn't completely healthy, that'd be great for the Atlanta offense because Matt Ryan can distribute that ball to a bunch of different people. So I think the toe injury we'll see tomorrow how that plays out. But at the end of the day, Julio Jones to me is one of the top five receivers in the league, so I give the edge to him any day.
Yeah, I don't think Julio Jones is going to even feel that toe tomorrow. I think they're going to stick a big needle in it, and that thing's going to be so numbed up and so Novocaine that you know, he won't even know he has toes.
That's probably true. We got to get over to the AFC, but real quickly, who's your pick for the NFC representation in the Super Bowl 2017, Ed?
Oh, I'd love to see the Packers get there. You know, that would be my dream scenario, the Packers against, tell you who the AFC team is when we get there. But I'd like to see the Packers get there, but I think the Falcons are going to find a way to win this game. I think there's going to be a lot of points. I think it's going to be a close game again. I know, you know, like Mo said, Green Bay needs to start quickly to kind of get out of that running game. But, you know, Dallas really didn't get out of the running game when they fell down 21-3 last week. They kept giving it to Ezekiel Elliott. I suspect you know, Atlanta would try to do the same thing if they should fall down big. But I somehow think Atlanta gets this done and they get to their first Super Bowl. I guess it'll be their second Super Bowl, but they're looking to become one of the first. This would be the first time they'd win it if they'd win it. But I think Atlanta will find a way. It'll be a high-scoring game, probably along the lines of what Green Bay and Dallas was last week in the 30s.
Well, let's hope that Atlanta can do better at the end of the game than the Packers did. I mean, I guess let's hope it's not as close for Atlanta. Anyway, so go ahead, Mo. What is your pick for the Packers and the Falcons?
Well, I think the NFL definitely, and Fox for sure, want the Packers. But, you know, I agree with that. I think it's Atlanta's time. I think there's just too many weapons for Matt Ryan. I think the defense is better. You know, and they've got that double attack at running back, which, you know, when you've got two great running backs, that's always a good recipe for success. Let's just hope that should Atlanta make the Super Bowl, that their defensive backs stay off of Craigslist and Backpage and not calling up hookers before the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
That's a good point, Mo.
Wasn't it Booger McFarland that had some issues with
Eugene McDaniel.
Yeah, Eugene McDaniel.
Yeah, but didn't Booger McFarland also at a Super Bowl have some issues with some ladies in the evenings? Didn't he as well? I'm pretty sure he did.
Would that be? That would have been the year with the Colts, probably.
Yeah, I don't remember.
When he was with as an announcer. I thought maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. This guy was an announcer.
You're thinking of. The defensive end. His name slipped my mind, but yes, you're right. He did. There was issues.
Yeah, the cops and also got involved. Okay.
Well, Warren Sapp had issues in Phoenix.
That's who it was. He had an issue, but I guess paying for overtime, we'll put it that way. He didn't want to pay for overtime, and she had to get out of there. All right, so we go over to the New England Patriots. I mean, say what you want about the Patriots. I mean, I think everybody knows that there's no way I'm ever going to pick the Patriots for anything just because that would be a huge crime for me being a Colts fan and so forth. But at the same time, you got to look at the success they have, and you certainly got to throw Tom Brady into that MVP conversation. It's not one that I want to have, but it's just the reality of it. In that, you know, he has earned the right to have the conversation of the MVP. So, Bill Belichick and the Patriots, you cannot argue with success, especially with, you know, not having Tom Brady the first four games of the season due to Deflategate. And now you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is just tough by all means. I really did not think they were going to win last week, so I hope they could come out and do a great job against the New England Patriots. But we'll start with you, Mo. When we look at these two schemes, two different types of teams, really in a lot of different ways, but very similar in a lot of different ways as well. When you look at the matchup between the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, you talked about Tom Brady being an MVP candidate. Let me address that first real quick. If the team had gone 0-4 without Tom, then maybe there's more of a case. But the fact that they went 3-1, I think that rules him out of the MVP to me. You know, I'm with you, Tom. It's hard for me to pick New England for anything. But I would like to see New England almost win just to see Roger Goodell hand the trophy to Tom Brady. I think that'd be interesting to watch. You know, to me, Pittsburgh is a much more exciting team on offense, other than last week when they had to rely on field goals. But I know the flu bug has run through the Pittsburgh facility this week, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It's going to come down, you know, to who has to make the big play and can when it comes down to it. I think it's going to be a close game. I know Pittsburgh hasn't had success when they've gone to New England recently, and they haven't intercepted Tom Brady since like 2005 there. But I think it's going to come down to which quarterback can make the big play and win. I like the offensive weapons more of Pittsburgh, but it's hard to ever pick against Bill Belichick. I mean, the guy to me is the greatest coach of all time, as much as it pains me to say that. And I don't think there's anybody better ever in the NFL at making adjustments, especially at halftime. So I think it's the New England Patriots, but it pains me so much to say that.
Did you see the meme going around the internet on Facebook and Twitter and so forth after the Steelers won? The meme came out and it says the Pittsburgh Steelers ground crew at the practice facility at Pittsburgh is underway, working hard or something, and the grounds person at the Pittsburgh Steelers practice facility was Bill Belichick. So they kind of. So he's hard at work at the Pittsburgh practice facility. Say what you want, again, Ed, about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots. They're finding ways to win. And as much as Mo said, as it pains him, he thinks that New England's going to end up beating Pittsburgh. But what are your thoughts on this matchup? You know, obviously you got Tom Brady and Big Ben Roethlisberger, two very well-known names, two very good quarterbacks, and know how to lead their team to a win.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that meme. Yeah, those charges of cheating will never go away against Bill Belichick or Bill Belichick. And, and they shouldn't. I mean, really, you know, the guy's been caught red-handed a couple times. And, you know, so he will always have that stain or whatever upon his legacy. But there's no questioning that he is a very, very good coach. A great coach, and it's hard to pick against the Patriots losing an AFC championship game 2 years in a row now, right? Didn't they play Denver last year in the AFC title game? And now that was on the road in Denver. Now they're home. It's just hard to pick against that type of a situation where could they lose two in a row in the AFC title game? Would one of those games be at home? It's hard to say yes to any of that. But that said, I really like the way Pittsburgh's Le'Veon Bell is playing. I mean, you mentioned MVP, and I agree with Mo as far as Tom Brady goes. You know, I think an MVP candidate has to be there for all 16 games. I don't think you can bring a guy in, you know, after four games and make him the MVP. I don't care. Even if the Patriots went 0-4 or 4-0 while Brady was away, I think you have to be available all 12 or 16 games. And you could say the same about Le'Veon Bell. You know, would he be an MVP candidate the way he plays, you know, catching passes and running the ball with that patient style of his. But he, again, was suspended for the first four games, and he's only been available for 12 games. So I would count him out too. But anyway, I just like the way that Steelers offense is playing. I know they only kicked 6 field goals to beat Kansas City last week. So they're going to need to do more. I think they will be able to score some touchdowns in this game. I think Antonio Brown, that whole Brown, Bell, Roethlisberger trio is just very tough to shut down. And I think the Patriots will give up points. The question is, can they stop Tom Brady at home with that defense? And again, I hearken back to Philadelphia. The Steelers came through Philadelphia in week 3 of the season and got toasted 34-3. And, you know, the Eagles could have done whatever they wanted offensively against the Steelers. I know that was a long time ago, but I'm just not a real big believer in the Steelers defense. I know it's played better later in the season, but I think going into New England and having to shut down Brady with a Super Bowl trip on the line is just going to be too big of a task. And, I just think all signs point to New England finding a way to win this game.
Well, as much as it pains me to say I agree with you guys, I'm not going to agree with you. I'm pure principle, and I'm just going to really hope that my magic mojo will mood you, or magic beans, or whatever I have to do. If I have to go to the NFLstore.com and Amazon Prime and get me some Steeler gear, I don't know what I have to do, but I am going to do whatever I have to do to keep it alive for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So my guess is the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. That would be my thoughts on that. Well, we have only got just a few more minutes left in this segment, and I know we've kind of rushed through things, and that's my fault because of the technical issues that we had at the beginning of this show. But I wanted to touch on, and I know you are predominantly, Ed, a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, but obviously you're familiar with baseball, you're familiar with the Phillies and so forth. But I really kind of wanted to talk about the Hall of Fame, who got in the Hall of Fame, and really we're kind of knocking on that door. We're going to see probably in the near future guys like Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire get into that were really part of that steroid era, get into the Hall of Fame. We just saw it happen, and I guess there's a two-part question there. Do we vote for someone to get into the Hall of Fame if they had anything to do with steroids at all? Even no matter how good they are, they should automatically disqualify them. I agree with that, because if we're going to let in guys that use steroids or are accused of using steroids, which we did this time, then we need to take a strong look at letting in Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame. I know it's an age-old argument that we keep having, but we'll start with you, Mo, of the BS Sports Show. What are your thoughts about the 2017 MLB inductees, and should they have been there in the first place?
Well, I think if you let Bud Selig in, then you have to let people from the steroid era in. To me, I've never really cared, because it's a museum. You know, it's a museum. It's for the fans. And why not tell the story? If you want to put the asterisk on it or what have you, fine, do it. But to me, you don't tell the whole story of baseball without Sosa and McGwire, without what Barry Bonds did. And to me, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before. Here's the thing I don't like, is that how all of a sudden, to my knowledge, Tim Raines never played another game in the last 10 years. But now all of a sudden he's a Hall of Famer. If you look at a guy and you're like, hey, he's a Hall of Famer, great, then he's in. If you can look at a guy and be like, well, I don't know, maybe 10 years from now he'll be a Hall of Famer. I hate that part of it, because if you can't get in right away, where's the debate at? As far as I know, these guys don't play another game. So to me, I think the whole voting is flawed. You know, as a fan, I've stayed away from the Baseball Hall of Fame because it doesn't tell the whole story. And until it does, I won't be a fan of it, nor will I be a fan of the voting. To me, the best player on that ballot – who wasn't accused of using steroids, but Guerrero didn't make it. So I think the whole process is flawed.
Well, Ripkins didn't make it either, just because he happens to have a different political view than most people. Just say, Ed Kratz, thoughts on the inductees of the 2017 MLB? Steroids, not steroids, it doesn't really matter to you. My point being is, just like Mo said, it's a museum. Okay, we go to a museum, and the museum tells the story how it laid out. No matter what it is, you go to historical museums, they're going to tell you the story, how the story laid out, whether or not you agree with that story or don't agree with that story. So if that is the case, if we're treating the Hall of Fame as a museum, Pete Rose should be in that museum.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to see Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, no doubt. You know, he played in Philadelphia, led them to a World Series in 1980, and he was one of those players you watched when he was with the Reds, and you're like, boy, I hate that guy. I hate the way he plays. That head-first slide, watching the ball land in the catcher's mitt every pitch, you're like, boy, I hate him. And then when he comes to your team, it's like, man, he's great. I love that guy, the way he hustles. So, you know, I'm a Pete Rose fan. I'd love to see him get in. You know, that's – and Mo made a great point with Bud Selig. If he's in, then why couldn't the other steroid guys get in? He presided over the steroid era, and it is a museum. I mean, Mo really hit all the high points there. It's a museum. If you're going to treat it as such, then let's tell the story the way it is. I mean, steroids were a part of this game for however many years, you know, at least a decade. They were a part of this game, and you know, let's tell that side of the story too. And you know, here are some people that were accused of doing it, and you know, we know who the guys are. We think it took them, Bonds and Clemens, and those are the names, but we don't know the names of guys who didn't take them, like Mike Piazza. You know, he got in. Was he on steroids? There were charges that he used steroids, but we don't know because that was never really proven or anything like that. So you know, who did, who didn't. Who cares? Put in whoever you think needs to be in there and tell the story the right way. And steroids were a part of baseball story. So was Pete Rose's scandal with betting on baseball. That can be in there. Let's just do it right and get guys in there that belong in there and guys who don't, like Tim Raines.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Next year, the ballot becomes an open ballot. It's not a secret ballot. I never understood that. Anyway, it's like we got a secret organization voting. And what are you hiding? Are you getting together and saying, okay, well, because your vote only counts. Okay, it's a secret ballot. Your vote only counts. Are you getting together? Are the writers getting together and say, okay, you don't vote for him. We can't put this person in on the first ballot. No way. We can't put this person in because this person. We can't put this person in on the first ballot because this person didn't go in on the first ballot. And so I'm all for that. Honestly, the Hall of Fame should be open to fans as well. We should have a vote. Just a thought on that. But anyway, so we'll see how that goes along. I know that you know, you're a writer there, Ed. I don't think that you have a vote in the Hall of Fame, but if you do, I'm not saying that you don't deserve a vote. I'm just saying that everybody else does too, and I'm glad that it's no longer going to be a secret ballot. Well, guys, we're kind of come up to the bump here. I know you're in New York City, Ed, and you are got a tight schedule, and you told me that 10:30 was your mark, and it is 10:30, and Mo, you told me the same thing. So we'll start with you, Ed. Where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
You check me out on Twitter, at KRACZE, and I post, you know, NFL, Eagles stuff, and I like to interact with fans and people and debate them. So you can check me out there on Twitter, at KRACZE.
Have a good day in New York City. Don't get involved
Thanks,
with all the protesters. Don't go there and try to make a scene at Trump Tower or anything like that. Just go there and have a time.
You won't see me on the news tonight, Tom. You won't see me on the news, that's for sure.
I know that guy. I know that guy. All right. Mo of the BS Sports Show. Thanks, Ed. Mo of the BS Sports Show. What's going on with you? And I'm so glad you caught up with us. It's been a while since we've had you on here. Hopefully we can have you on again in the very near future, certainly on our Super Bowl special. But what are you and Mr. Elvis working on with the BS Sports Show, and where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
At Mo Radio Show on Twitter. I'll be joining Billy here in just a few minutes over on Sports Talk in Lima, Ohio, and then headed out to San Diego to be on Sports Betting Weekly on the ESPN station out there. So lots of different places. The easiest place to find me on Twitter, at Mo Radio Show. And, Tom, you know I'll be on whenever you ask, my friend.
I love it, brother. Well, we'll talk to you soon. You have yourself a good weekend and safe travels to you, sir.
All right, buddy. Thanks. You too.
Mo of the BS Sports Show and Ed Kratz. And I apologize that we had to cram-pack so much into a short amount of time, but that's just the breaks of live radio. Sometimes you just got to pick up and go. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. We'll be back. We're going to be talking some NASCAR with OnPitRoad.com, assistant editor from OnPitRoad.com. We're going to be talking some NASCAR and racing right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Showtime. Guess who's back again? I bet on Uptown. I bet on Uptown. I bet they know as soon as we walk in. Turn up. I'm wearing Cuban links. Yeah. Dynamic. Yeah. Englewood signing shoes. Whoop, whoop. Don't look too hard. Might hurt yourself. Known to get the color red, the blue. Woo, shit. Woo.
money in my pocket.
Keep up.
So many pretty girls around me, and they're waking up the rocket.
Keep up.
Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jocking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on, put your pinky fingers to the moon. Girls, what y'all trying to do?
24 karat magic in the air. Hit the toe so clear. Look out. Second verse for the hustlers.
Hustlers.
Gangsters.
Hi, Tom Bodette spreading the word about Motel 6's cool new hashtag. It's all about the thrilling stuff you can do with the money you save at Motel 6 instead of some expensive hotel with a lot of fancy stuff you don't need. Thrills, not frills. Just post all those thrill pics you take on your summer travels with the hashtag thrills, not frills. Boom. I mean, hashtag boom. Hashtag this is awesome. I'm Tom Bodette for hashtag Motel 6 and hashtag we'll leave the light on for you.
Bobby, you here again?
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dub Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at a new low price. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquesell, Presidente. So glad that you could join us today. So much apologize for our technical difficulties we had the first half of the show, but thank you, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, Calkins Media, and Mo from the BS Sports Show for cram-packing two segments into a very short half hour for us. I appreciate that. Talking about the AFC and NFC Championship and talking a little bit about the MLB Hall of Fame. But joining us now, we're going to get back into our racing talk, is Tyson. And I apologize, Tyson, if I'm saying your name wrong, but it's Lawson. Lawson Grab?
Close. Lautenschlager, Tyson Lautenschlager.
Lautenschlager? Sounds like a good German name. Am I correct? There we go. Tyson, assistant editor of OnPitRoad.com. We love having you guys on during the racing season. And so I appreciate you coming on, and we're going to get into some things here in just a moment here on NASCAR. Obviously, we're coming up in a very short time. We'll be here before we know it, the Daytona 500, which is the Super Bowl of NASCAR, which is also the beginning of the season, if you will. But one of the things we'll see different is a lot of high-profile names to retire, to not be in the car in 2017. The most recent name, and I think one of the most surprising names, because we certainly knew that it was coming with Tony Stewart and, you know, others, but Carl Edwards just decided that, hey, he's had enough. What happened there? What do you think created that? I know there's been a lot of he say, she said rumors. There's been a lot of things. He just said that I wanted to walk away. There were some issues with the team. He was either given the option to retire or be fired. So what insight can you give us on the retirement of Carl Edwards?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a weird deal. It just happened sort of all of a sudden. A couple weeks ago, there was some news coming out. You know, we were hearing a lot of rumors. A big name driver was going to be retiring really suddenly, and you know, everybody starts speculating, and a lot of people thought it was going to be someone at Joe Gibbs Racing. But I think a lot of people look towards Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, and then all of a sudden we start hearing Carl Edwards' name being floated around, and I don't think it's anything too fishy or anything. I think he honestly did see he's at a good point in his career. He can still win races, so why not go out on top?
Well, and there you go. That very well, it might be just that simple, but it is just because a lot of times you hear rumors and you hear things like that. So maybe it is just that. He just wants to come out on top, and we'll see if he gets back into the car. Let's talk a little bit about Charlotte and the possibility of opening up a road course there. I know A.J. Allmendinger tested on the roughly a 2.3-mile circuit similar to Daytona's. That incorporates both the infield turning one and two. Of course, here in Indianapolis, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we've got a road course as well. We don't use it for NASCAR. But the test collaboration between Charlotte Motor Speedway and NASCAR, thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned Indy's road course, which I love what they do in IndyCar with the Angie's List Grand Prix just before the 500. They do a great job with that race. I think it's a great road course. But the Charlotte one is, you know, a lot different. You know, looking at the picture of the infield, you know, as you said, it's about a 2.3-mile road course that they had Allmendinger test on. And it's just, you know, it's a lot of the actual course is really just oval. So I mean, it's a nice step that NASCAR might be looking to take in terms of trying something new. And you know, Allmendinger tested on it. I saw some video of it. It looked pretty smooth, but I mean, it looks mostly like an oval with maybe a few extra turns and a few extra cranks. But I mean, if NASCAR wants to give this a shot and try, you know, a new road course, that'd be great. But I think we also have a couple other really solid road courses that NASCAR isn't taking a look at and moving up to the cup level. You know, Road America every year in the Xfinity Series, the fans love it. Mid-Ohio, another one that the fans really love. And then up here in Canada where I live, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park always puts on a great show for the Truck Series. We always have exciting finishes every year. So, I mean, I think if NASCAR wants to add another road course, that'd be awesome. I think it's about time that we have another road course added, but I don't think a Charlotte road course would be the way to go.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think it's something that they're looking at, something that they're testing. The road course itself is nothing new to the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I know it's hosted the Sport Club of America events and other races, but I don't think since 1960, since Joe Lee Johnson won there in 1960, the track is only used in the NASCAR series, the 1.5-mile oval. So we'll see what happens. The Monster Energy, I'm still getting used to saying that, the Monster Energy.
Yeah,
I still want to say Sprint. Sponsors change and so forth. And, you know, just as an FYI, in case you did not know, the Angie's List race will still happen, but Angie's List is no longer the title sponsor, and they don't have one just yet.
My bad.
But, yep. No, that's okay. But they currently have Sonoma certainly as part of their in Watkins Glen as well on the NASCAR schedule. So we'll look at that and see how that goes. What are your thoughts on the you know, I've talked with some other people, and you know, Steve Wilson of Speedway Digest talked with him a little bit about the changeover to Monster and the appeal. I think what we're seeing a younger drivers. We're seeing tracks like Michigan and Indianapolis and other tracks put together concerts and music festivals together with their tracks. I think they're really trying to pull in that younger audience. Let's face it, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was no such thing as Monster Energy and so forth. So this is certainly and you look at how Monster Energy has really they've been involved in motorsports for a while, but they've not done like big national television and radio campaigns and stuff. Like, they've really kind of grassrooted and organically grew their brand name through, you know, what younger audiences do. So are we seeing a trend where NASCAR is going after that younger audience appeal?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important that NASCAR does take a look at the younger audience, because this is the, you know, they should be the growing, you know, fans in our sport. And, I mean, I'm a younger guy, so I understand trying to appeal to the younger audience, but you also can't just alienate, you know, the fans that have been around for 20, 30 years. And I am a little worried with Monster coming in that it might just be all about trying to appeal to young fans. But I am optimistic for the future. I think they can do a really good job of trying to appeal to new people, bring in some new fans. We just need to make sure we don't lose the old fans in the process.
Well, absolutely. And I guess that's the key balance is to in finding that balance, no pun intended, between getting a new audience and keeping the audience that you already have. And I know that that's is always a struggle. We're talking with Tyson Lawson. We're just going to call you Tyson. Can we just call you Tyson? Can we work with that?
Yeah, that's
I'll practice the name for the next time. But, you know, Tyson, we can't let you go without talking about the 2017 Hall of Fame in inductees. And I tell you what, I'm really excited. I'm not disappointed at all. You know, in our last segment, we talked about the 2017 MLB Hall of Fame inductees. Mm-hmm. There were some disappointments there. But certainly not in racing. You got Richard Childress, Rick Hendrick, Mark Martin, Raymond Parks, and of course Benny Parsons. I don't see any problem with that at all. That's probably one of the best NASCAR inductees classes that we've seen in any recent memory.
Yeah, this was a really strong induction class. You know, everybody for the past few years have been saying, when is Rick Hendrick going to get in? You know, this is a guy who's won like 12 cup championships as an owner or something like that, like 100 race wins as an owner. And then Richard Childress, the same thing, you know, 100 wins as an owner, bunch of championships across all three series. Mark Martin, who everyone loved, you know, a great driver with a lot of fans, never won a championship, never won a Daytona 500, but you know, was runner up for the championship two or three times, won a ton of races in his time. Raymond Parks, who was an owner back in the day, like, you know, in the late 30s and 40s, where he helped develop stock car racing and helped develop it as a career while also doing the bootlegging of alcohol during Prohibition. So he was kind of a badass kind of guy where he would, you know, still, you know, be a liquor runner while managing a race team. And then Benny Parsons, who, you know, I wish he could have been, you know, still alive to have been a part of this, because he is one of the people in the sport who everyone loved as a driver and as a commentator. I think even as a commentator, more so than a driver, because he was kind of guy that his opinion was held to a higher standard than everyone else. And everyone just loved the guy and he really had a knack for being on TV.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's really, I mean, we all know you know, us people that follow and talk racing, we know how good of a driver Benny Parsons was, but I think the average person knows Benny Parsons as the commentator. You mentioned Rick Hendrick getting in. I mean, yeah, that seems like such a simple, I mean, you got guys like Jimmie Johnson, which obviously, I mean, is going to be a Hall of Famer. Jeff Gordon is going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, the names that he's been around and associated with as an owner, you know, 3,552 starts as an owner. He's 240 wins, 206 poles. Again, I think it's a given that he got into the Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
And especially considering all the – sorry, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
Well, especially with Hendrick, considering all the adversity that he had to face in his career, you know, at the beginning as an owner, they, you know, the team almost went under in the first year, and then everybody knows the tragedies of 2004 with the plane crash. So, I mean, Rick Hendrick has fought through a lot of adversity to get to where he was today.
Oh, absolutely. He really has. You know, we got a couple of things here left that I wanted to talk with you about. Certainly, we're talking with Tyson. We've agreed we could call you Tyson. It is Tyson, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I promise you, brother, the next time you come on, I'll have everything together. Roger was good enough to get with me yesterday and get you on. I appreciate that. From onpitroad.com, assistant editor there. one of the biggest things coming up, well, it's not really NASCAR, but it's certainly a lot of NASCAR drivers, a lot of IndyCar drivers for that matter, a lot of different types of drivers. And it's one of those races that I look forward to every year. It gives me a reason to stay up all night and drink beer, and that's the Rolex 24-hour race, if you will, out at Daytona. That starts on the 26th. Give us a breakdown of that. That is, you know, a lot of people don't get the race of endurance. I mean, it is a lot of fun to watch. At the end of the race, they always put together a time-lapse thing from the entire race, from, you know, daylight hours, afternoon hours, and into the night. It's really exciting. So the Daytona, the Rolex, I'm sorry, 24 at Daytona, 24-hour endurance race. What are your thoughts and maybe some takeaways for that race this year?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited for that race. This is, you know, one of my favorite races of the year as well, and it'll be starting basically a week from about 20 minutes from now. So usually starts about 11:30 in the morning on the Saturday, and we have a lot of really cool names this year. Jeff Gordon's coming back for this race. So he hasn't run the race since 2007. But now that he doesn't have NASCAR stuff to worry about and doesn't have any ownership contracts he has to deal with, you know, he can come back and kind of do whatever races he wants. So Gordon's going to be running with the Ricky and Jordan Taylor, who are a really good pair of brothers who they kind of put on a good show every year, whether it's on the track or off the track. And he'll be paired up with Max Angelelli as well. So that'll be a competitive team that can go out and win. And as far as the other NASCAR guys, there's not a lot this year. Usually we have Jamie McMurray, Kyle Larson come out every year, but Chip Ganassi decided to go a different route this year. But we do still have a couple other NASCAR guys. Austin Cindric, who is the son of Penske team president Tim Cindric, as well as Kaz Grala, Justin Marks are going to all make an appearance. And then we got a bunch of names that will be familiar to the IndyCar paddock. James Hinchcliffe running for Team Mazda, as well as yep. Spencer Pigot going to be over there. And we got Scott Dixon for Ganassi, Tony Kanaan. Who else? We have Sage Karam, who's a young guy who runs really well every year in the Indy 500. He'll be out there driving for the new Lexus program in GT Daytona, and that should be a really competitive program to watch as well.
Well, absolutely. You mentioned IndyCar and James Hinchcliffe. What a remarkable comeback that he has, and then to go on to win the Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
You gotta have that underneath your belt. We saw some changes in IndyCar this year, and obviously Ed Carpenter Racing. We saw here some changes there, but we saw Joseph Newgarden, and that's the biggest move, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
To Andretti. He did go to Andretti.
To Penske, rather.
Penske, I'm so sorry, because yes, you're right. He's got a new teammate of Elio Castroneves, but Joseph Newgarden, to me, is probably one of the most impressive up-and-coming IndyCar drivers. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that. Newgarden, he's very smooth on the track. And you know, this year, after his injury at Texas Motor Speedway, you know, that was a really bad injury. I think he had a broken collarbone. His wrist was pretty badly damaged. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he comes back and he dominated the day. I think he led almost every lap at Iowa Speedway, which is a really, really rough oval. A lot of sharp, you know, left-hand turns, obviously, because it's just a one-mile oval, and there's not a lot of time to rest, and he dominated that race and won right after a pretty bad injury. He said in Victory Lane how sore he was, but, you know, to still, after dealing with all that pain and to come out on top, it really shows his true talent, and I think it'll be nice to see him move over to Team Penske, which is definitely a lot, you know, better equipment than Ed Carpenter Racing. We saw Pagano move from Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports to Penske, and it took a bit of a transition point, but then this past year went out and won the championship. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Newgarden do the same and compete for a championship this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He was right there at the cusp knocking on the door of a championship this year, and he's part of a championship team now. It's good. I look for great things from him. You know, another some other big news out of IndyCar, AJ Foyt Racing switching to Chevrolet in 2017. We're seeing a lot of teams kind of switch away from the traditional Honda type matchup and using manufacturers like Chevrolet and so forth. Can we read into the tea leaves as to why this is happening? Is there a reason? But AJ Foyt, it's certainly the most recent one to make a change to Chevrolet in 2017.
Yeah, you know, I think with Foyt, they had seen themselves kind of really struggling the past few years, and I think they just need to make a change. And obviously when they made the change to Chevrolet, that forced Takuma Sato out, who has ties with Honda. Sato found his way over to Andretti. But then I believe we also have Ganassi switching back to Honda, which they seem okay. I might be wrong about that, but every few years they seem to kind of go back and forth between Chevy and Honda, which is kind of an interesting way to do it. But, I mean, Chevy the past few years has been really strong. Honda's been a little bit behind the game. They started picking it up just a bit near the middle to the end of last year. But I think we're still going to see, you know, Chevy, especially with having Team Penske in their back pocket, that's going to be the strong team, the strong manufacturer, rather, in 2017.
Well, speaking to the rumor mill, Mikhail Eloshin may not compete in the 2017 IndyCar season, as rumor has it that he's having some funding issues and have fallen through for his Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport entry, certainly one of the Verizon IndyCar Series most promising drivers, but it looks like he's not going to have funding. But there again, that could be just a rumor, because when you're with a team like Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, I would think they could find some funding somewhere for this additional car.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've heard these rumors too, and it's not all that surprising that this is going around, because Eloshin's had funding issues in the past. A couple years ago, he had his whole issue and then was finally able to get back. But, you know, I would think they would be able to find something for him, because, you know, Eloshin this past year really started coming on strong, nearly won at Mid-Ohio after dominating. They had a pit road issue that kind of screwed everything up for them. But I think Schmidt-Peterson will find a way to bring him back. They were talking about going three cars full-time this year anyway, which isn't happening now. But if they were, you know, close enough to having that funding for three cars full-time, I think they can manage to get Eloshin back. And I hope so, because, as you said, he is one of the most promising young guys in IndyCar right now. I know he hasn't gone to victory lane yet, but he's been fast time and time again, and he's honestly just really exciting to watch.
Absolutely. So we've been joined by Tyson, with Tyson, of assistant editor of OnPitRoad.com. Appreciate all the work that you and Roger do out there. Certainly love working with Roger, and we'll look forward to talking with you some more throughout the NASCAR and IndyCar season. But one more thing I did kind of want to pick your brain about. Daniel Suarez will drive the Joe Gibbs Racing number 19 car in the preseason race at Daytona. Substitutions have been allowed in the past for injuries or illnesses because teams have already landed the sponsors. But because of a deal that JGR already had in place, basically NASCAR said, okay, Daniel Suarez, you can go ahead and race. Thoughts on that? Or compete?
Yeah,
in the preseason. Go ahead.
Yeah, at the Clash. And, you know, I kind of have mixed feelings towards this, because I guess they did kind of already have the sponsorship signed, but I mean, we're still a month out from the Clash at this point. So it wouldn't be too big of a deal for Gibbs to say to Ayres, hey, we can't make this happen, especially considering, you know, Edwards's retirement happened about 2 weeks ago now. And Ayres was made aware of it a few, you know, probably about a week before. So they would have known about, all of this happening about 3 weeks ago. And I feel like that's enough time to be like, okay, we're not going to be able to do it this year. Let's regroup and focus on the rest of Speed Weeks. I think it will be a really good opportunity for Suarez to get some, prep time in the 19 car because, you know, he's done, I think, one test now in a cup car, and that's it. He hasn't had any other time, seat time in a cup car. So I think this will be good for Suarez to kind of get his feet wet and get acclimated with the team. But I do have mixed feelings on whether he should or shouldn't be allowed because, I mean, Clint Bowyer isn't being allowed in the race in the 14 car because he didn't win a pole last year. But Tony Stewart, because he made the chase, he was eligible. So, I mean, if you're going to let Suarez drive, I feel like they should be making Bowyer eligible too. It kind of sets a weird precedent.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. Well, we've been joined with Tyson. Insert last name here. Go ahead. How do you say it again?
Lautenschlager. Next time I'm on here, I'm going to quiz you on that.
You do that, and I'm going to practice. I'm going to do a thesaurus or something. You know how you can practice the names and the words all over. It sounds like a good beer.
Yeah.
So maybe you should start a beer.
Yeah, you know, I've been told that. So I get told that all the time, yeah.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. Real quickly, talk with us a little bit about what you guys are working on across the board on onpitroad.com and what you've got coming up, and certainly where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a lot of fun lately with OPR. You know, we've been doing a lot of we've been doing some Hall of Fame spotlights that we got out in the past few days. A lot of cool opinion pieces that we've been doing between the whole team, Mike Holloway, Roger Holtzclaw, obviously, and then myself and the other staff as well. So definitely check us out at onpitroad.com. And then you can find me on Twitter at Tyson Laut, LAUT23. So you can follow me there. And I talk a lot of racing on Twitter. I talk a lot of other stuff. So I feel like I'm usually pretty good follow.
Well, we'll make sure that we give you a follow as long as you give us a follow back. Deal?
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. You have yourself a good weekend, and thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Tyson, assistant editor of onpitroad.com, joining us and talking some racing. Been a great show today. Again, not trying to draw attention to it, but we had a bit of a technical issue the first part of our show. Thank you so much for Ed Kratz for jumping on with us and Mo from the BS Sports Show. Okay, kind of cramming two segments into one for us, and then, of course, Tyson from onpitroad.com. What we're going to do, though, we're going to got to go. Time has expired on the clock. We'll catch you guys next Saturday right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.